I'm reading from the New King James Version. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then the next Bible reading is Matthew chapter 11. And we're going to read from verse 20. Matthew 11, beginning at verse 20. Then he, that is Jesus, began to upbraid the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, it would be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and he to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. May God add his blessing and give us the interpretation of his precious word. A little while ago, Cynthia and I received a very special and gracious invitation. Now, even although King Charles III decided to be born on my birthday, it was not an invitation to the coronation. But nevertheless, it was a very gracious and very special invitation. The Lord willing, I turn 80 in November, and this will be a special 80th birthday present from some of my family. It's an invitation to accompany them on an all-expenses-paid holiday to the BPOE in South Africa. Now, BPOE stands for the best place on earth, And that is the Kruger Park in South Africa. It's a game reserve about the size of Wales, and you have these African animals roaming about in the wild, free to do as they please. And I agree that the Kruger National Park is the BPOE, and so this is one of the best invitations I have ever received. Invitations are special, aren't they? You open an envelope and you read the embossed words, "Mr. and Mrs. John Smith request the pleasure of your presence at the wedding of their daughter Ruth," or "You are invited to a gala celebration for the grand opening of our new building." Invitations like that. And to receive an invitation is to be honored, is to be held in high esteem. But the best invitations are not found in telephone calls or envelopes. They are found in the Bible. God is a God who invites. God is a God who calls. For example, Isaiah 1 verse 18, God says, "Come now, I'm inviting you, come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Isaiah 55 verse 1 says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." During his time on earth, our Lord Jesus Christ gave invitations for people to come to him. John 6 verse 35 says, "And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." And then in the very next chapter of John, chapter 7 verse 37 and 38, "On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried out, saying, If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." And Jesus even invited children to come to him. Matthew 19 verse 14, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for as such is the kingdom of heaven." Now today, I want us to look at an invitation that Jesus gave, a most loving and gracious invitation. And it's Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So let's have a look at this magnificent invitation. And first of all, I would like to point out the person who invites. The person who invites. And what does verse 28 say? "Come to me." Who said that? Jesus said that. This isn't an invitation from the church leaders or Christians, although that's always a good thing. This is a personal invitation that comes from Jesus himself. Now the question is, has Jesus got the ability to carry this out? Has he got the qualifications to see it through? Just what kind of a person is Jesus? What kind of a person is he? Well, first of all, the person who gives this invitation is loving. John 15 and verse 13 says, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." That's the greatest human love you can ever get. Someone who is willing to die for his friends. But Jesus' love is even greater than that, because he not only died for his friends, but he died for everyone, including his enemies. He died for his enemies as well. So this invitation comes from the person who has shown the greatest love this world has ever known. Now Jesus says something very significant about himself in Matthew 11 verse 29. And this is the only time Jesus tells us anything about his heart. He says, "For I am gentle and lowly in heart." That's the kind of heart Jesus has, a gentle and humble heart. But secondly, the person who gave this invitation is compassionate. Matthew 14 verse 14 says, "And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick." And we read in Matthew 20 that two blind men called out to Jesus to have mercy on them. That's Matthew 20 verse 32 to 34. "So Jesus stood still and called them and said, 'What do you want me to do for you?' They said to him, 'Lord, that our eyes may be opened.' So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him." What is compassion? Compassion is a feeling of empathy and pity for the suffering and the misfortune of another person. So your burden becomes the burden of Jesus. He feels for you and he feels with you. And then thirdly, the person who gave this invitation understands. Hebrews 4 and verse 15, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." Jesus lived as a man on earth. He went through all the difficulties and all the temptations that we go through. Jesus knows and understands that people are often weighed down with burdens. He knows that people need rest. That's why we read in Mark 6 and verse 31, "And Jesus said to them," that is his disciples, "'Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while, For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. Jesus understands that. In the fourth place, the person who gave this invitation is trustworthy. We live in a world where you can hardly trust anybody. There is deception around almost every corner. Just think of the scams that are going on today. How careful you have to be. Deception all around. But Jesus says in John 6 and verse 37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13 says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. So the person who gives out this gracious invitation is one who is loving and compassionate. He is one who understands and is gentle and humble. He is one who keeps his promises, and you can rely on him. The next thing we note in this invitation is the people who are invited. Matthew 11, 28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Now I wonder who that can be. That would include most people, wouldn't it? Life is not easy. And I would say that all people struggle and carry burdens. There is a parable that was used a lot by the Chinese teachers in the old days. And it's a story of a woman who lost an only son. And she was grief-stricken beyond all reason. And finally, she went to a wise old philosopher. And he said to her, I will bring back your son if you will bring me some mustard seed. However, the seed must come from a home where there has never been any sorrow. So she set out eagerly and started her search, and she went from house to house. And in every house, she found that a loved one had been lost. And she said to herself, how selfish I have been in my grief. Sorrow is common to all. Burdens are common to all. What struggles do people face? What kind of burdens do people carry? I think there are many kinds of struggles we face and many types of burden that we carry, but I think they basically fall into three categories. And the first category is the burden of sin. And I think that this was the most prominent burden that Jesus was referring to. Would you notice what he says in verse 29? You will find rest for your what? For your souls. What is the soul? The soul means more than physical life. When God made man, when God made Adam, it says he became a living soul. Or he became a person, a human being. And the word soul used here in Matthew refers to the inner life of a person, the heart, the spirit, the mind, the psyche, the seats of emotions, the center of human personality, the real you that is inside you. You are made in the image of God. You are distinct from the animals in that regard. And the soul is designed for fellowship with God. So Jesus is talking more about inner rest, inner peace, although physical rest is also included. And many people carry the burden of sin. Psalm 38 verse 4 says, "For my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me." And Psalm 40 verse 12 says, "For innumerable evils have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me so that I'm not able to look up." And this is an invitation from Jesus. If you are burdened with sin and guilt, go to him for rest. Then there is also the burden of sorrow. Moses said in Psalm 90 verse 10, "The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." During our lives, we face sorrow time and time again. We lose loved ones. We grieve. We mourn. Our hearts get broken. Jesus understands that sorrow. Isaiah 53 and verse 3 and 4 says, "He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." Another burden is the burden of suffering. There are all kinds of suffering. There is physical suffering. We get ill. We get injured. We get weak and tired. There is also emotional suffering, feelings of depression, anxiety, loneliness, sadness, rejection, fear. And Jesus knows all about it. He knows all about it. Did you know that part of his mission on earth was to alleviate suffering? Luke chapter 4 and verse 17 and 18 says, "And Jesus was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written," and this is from Isaiah 61 verse 1, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." The people who are invited by Jesus are those suffering with heavy loads and burdens. And I reckon that that includes everyone. Everyone here. It includes me. And I'm sure it includes all of you as well. So Jesus, yeah, is basically inviting all of us, to come to him. Now included in this gracious invitation of Jesus is the promise which is given. The promise which is given. It's there in verse 28 to 30, the last part of verse 28. and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The promise is that when you come to Jesus, you will find rest for your soul. He will give you rest. That's the promise here. Unfortunately, some people think this is a promise to remove your burdens and heavy loads. But that's not the promise. It's not Jesus saying, come to me with, and all your troubles will disappear like bubbles. It's not that. Two artists were given a commission to paint a picture representing peace. The first artist painted a canvas depicting a carefree boy, young boy sitting in a small boat on a placid lake without a ripple disturbing the surface. The other artist painted a raging waterfall with winds whipping the spray about. And on a branch overhanging the swirling water, a bird had built its nest and sat peacefully in the nest, brooding her eggs. Yeah, she was safe from her enemies, shielded and protected by the roaring waterfall. I think that this is the kind of rest that Jesus is talking about. Rest in the middle of turbulence. And Jesus promises rest right in the middle of your unease about sin, right in the middle of your sorrow, in the middle of your suffering. You will find rest for your soul. You will be at peace. This is a tremendous blessing. One of the reasons why I believe that Jesus doesn't promise to remove our burdens is because of what he says in verse 30. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The yoke and the burden are still there. We don't use that word yoke all that often today, but some of us do know what it means. It is basically an ancient farming word. A yoke is usually made of a wooden beam shaped to fit over the neck of an ox in order to bind it to the traces by which it pulls a plow that digs up the ground to make it ready for planting seed. And usually two oxen were used for that. And the yoke was a type of harness that also connected the animals to each other so that they could work in unison. When you are yoked to another, the burden is made lighter. So the picture we get here is of being yoked together with Jesus. It's a picture of Jesus sharing your load. But it also means that Jesus will give you the strength to carry your load. He will give us his love, his mercy, his grace to make our burdens bearable, and we will be at rest in our souls. A few months ago, we moved house. And we had a bookshelf and a dressing table that were quite heavy, and I really struggled to move them around. We decided that they didn't quite fit the new place, and so a young man came to take them away. And he picked them up as if they were a small bag of feathers. And I looked out the window as he took them away, and he was nonchalantly walking down the path with a bookshelf in one arm and the dressing table in the other arm. And I struggled with them. He had the strength that I didn't have. And what was a burden and a heavy load for me was easy and light for him. The yoke of Jesus is easy, and his burden is light. There was an American Christian hymn writer with the name of Horatio G. Spafford. One day his four daughters died tragically when the ship they were traveling on sank off the shores of England. And in his great sorrow, he wrote the hymn we sing quite often these days. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. Think about that. Isn't that amazing? In the middle of that tragedy, in the middle of his grief and sorrow, he could say, it is well with my soul. Jesus gave him rest for his soul when he faced the tragic loss of four daughters. I find that amazing. Let's remember that the promise that was given is that Jesus will not remove your load, your burdens, but he will give you rest while you are carrying that burden, while you are carrying that load. And this is a most gracious and loving invitation that Jesus gives to all people. Now, there is also something else to consider, and that is that a response is required. When you receive an invitation, you will normally notice the letters RSVP. And that means that you are requested to respond to the invitation. You are required to let them know if you accept the invitation or not. And this invitation from Jesus also requires a response. You need to go to Jesus. Now, how do you do that? How do you get to Jesus? He's not in any geographical location. So we must understand that this is a spiritual coming to Jesus. So how do we come to him spiritually? By going to him is believing in him. Earlier I quoted from John 6 verse 35, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. And now listen to this. He who believes in me shall never thirst. And then again from John 7 verse 37 to 38, Jesus stood and cried out saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. When you come to Jesus, you believe that he is the Son of God, that he is divine, that he is God. You believe that he died on the cross to take your sin so that you could be forgiven. You believe that he rose again from the dead. You submit to him as your Lord and Savior and Master and King. And going to Jesus also means submitting to Him. There's a great deal of significance in the use of that word yoke. The people who heard Jesus would have understood that the word yoke was a symbol of submission. And that's how you come to Jesus. You submit to Him. He becomes your Master and King. And going to Jesus also means that you become His disciple. When Jesus was on earth, the Jewish rabbis had a phrase that they used. The phrase they used is this: to take the yoke of. Somebody takes the yoke of. And that means that somebody becomes a disciple. Somebody takes the yoke of Gamaliel, one of the great teachers. He becomes a disciple of that teacher. And that's why Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Learn from me. And in the Greek, that word learn is the basic word for disciple. So you become a disciple, a follower of Jesus, and you learn from Him. Now we know that many people think that this is dreary, this is hard, this is boring. But Jesus says His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Ask those who have already gone to Jesus. They know. They will tell you it is a joy and a privilege to take up that yoke. And what's more, they find rest for their souls. I've got to close now, but can I just show you what I mean using Psalm 23? I read that earlier, and it would be good if you could turn to that psalm, Psalm 23. Jesus said He's the good shepherd, and Psalm 23 is known as the shepherd's psalm. When you go to Jesus, you get rest from doing things your own way. Why? Because the Lord is your shepherd. You get rest from endless wants. Why? Because with Him you shall not want. You get rest from weariness. Why? Because He makes you lie down. You get rest from worry. Why? Because He leads you. You get rest from hopelessness. Why? Because He restores your soul. You get rest from guilt. Because He leads you in the paths of righteousness. You get rest from the fear of death because He walks you through it. You get rest from shame because He has prepared a place for you in the presence of your enemies. You get rest from your disappointments because He anoints you. You get rest from envy because your cup overflows. You get rest from doubt because His mercy and His goodness follow you. And you get rest from homesickness because you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There may be some here who have never gone to Jesus before. Can I please urge you, go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. It's an open invitation, and you will find rest for your souls. Those of you who have believed in Jesus and are following Jesus, but you get worn out with your burdens, go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. You know, too often Christians make a big mistake, and my heart is sad every time I hear this kind of thing. Oh, I tried this and I tried that, and as a last resort, I used prayer. Go to Jesus first. Go to Jesus first. You don't have to try this and try that and try the next thing. Go to Jesus first. Go to Jesus. Find rest for your souls. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we have to confess that too often we try and work these things out. We try in our own way to lift these sorrows, to lift these burdens, to carry all our troubles. We try our own way to get rid of them. We want to thank you. Thank you for this gracious invitation to come to Jesus, where we will find rest. Oh, help us, Lord, to live in the truth, in the light of these verses. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.